The following podcast contains spoilers.
Hey, it's Joe Bunzarelli.
All right, it's the season 5 finale, but we'll see you in August for Ahsoka. Here's our review of Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 3.
This is the Bunzarelli Show.
I tell you something funny. It used to be like YouTube. You would see all the clips of stuff, Bob.
Yeah.
TikTok is like not playing around. Like there is just, I was just scrolling through TikTok and there's straight up clips of Guardians of the Galaxy on it.
Oh God.
Like just straight up like scenes, you know, at least at YouTube, after you see the movie, it used to be like, oh, I just saw, Yoda versus Dooku. Let me go watch it on YouTube to relive that moment. You know, at least that was cool. But that was like straight up in your face, which would suck as a fan. But for a podcaster, very handy. I was like, oh, let me keep scrolling. Kind of refresh the movie real fast.
Yeah.
It's like good show notes.
It's terrible, though, when you haven't seen it. Like even Google News does that. And I've been because it just pulls stuff from random sites. And each time some site does it, I just tell it, never show me anything from this site again.
Yeah.
But it does the thing where the headline is, you know, it shows a clip of some actor you didn't know was in the show. And I had it when I had a spoiler too. I'm in the theater and I go out to use the restroom and a kid says that I thought he said Drax died. And I'm like, mother, are you serious? I went to the bathroom. He just told me that. So I go back in and I'm thinking, so I thought that was going to happen and it didn't. And then the other spoiler I had was there is a headline and they showed a picture of someone carrying Chris Pratt. And thankfully it was the first clip of the movie.
Yeah. Because
otherwise it would have been the whole movie. I'd just be waiting like, oh crap, he died. And I was like, oh no, he's just drunk. I'm just taking him home.
Well, I know what that was. The kid must've saw that part. Cause the kid must've saw that part where Drax took that hit. And then he walked out. There was a lot of close calls for those guys.
It had the feel like an end game. Something was going to happen. It really gave you that feel.
Like let's start with the heart. Pretty much the heart of the movie was the Rocket storyline. And I didn't think from the trailers that was going to be like such a big part of everything.
It was really cool. And it's funny because until they started showing it, it never dawned on me like, I wonder what Rocket's origin is. It was just like, you just accepted like, oh, he's just a raccoon that something crazy happened to. And then I was like, oh no, wait, that's a good point. Like why, you know, he's one of the four heavies.
Yeah.
And we've heard everyone else's story. You didn't really hear Drax's story. I mean, you knew his story, but you didn't see it, but you really don't need to because he's kind of like one dimensional, but like in a funny, good way.
Yeah.
But for Rocket, it was like, that was a great storyline. And it was cool. It just gave him like much due credit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it was more about his past than he actually did in the present, because we've seen so much of Rocket. You know, if you think about like the roles he played in Infinity War and Endgame, you know, he was one of the main characters because him and Nebula were the only Guardians that survived the blip. So you got to see him go from, because when he last left off in Guardians 2, he kind of was like, he's always had that like that dicky kind of personality. He kind of had that anger in him. And even
but he had growth throughout the movies. He had you know, for us what seemed in the beginning like such a silly character, he had more of an arc than any of them.
When I was strolling across clips, I saw a clip of from Guardians 2 where Yondu is just straight calling him out, and he goes like, you're just like me, da 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 da, and he's like getting it, Rocket, and they're like, you know, he's like, I could see your fake anger and your fake selfishness and stuff, and it kind of came full circle. Like this is what James Gunn was kind of always getting at. Like he must have had the story in his head, or you know, he knew it would.
You think that was his doing? That was, he had a big hand in this one.
James Gunn? Oh no, he wrote. Yeah, he made this one.
Gotcha. I didn't know. Like I knew his name was on it. I don't know to what extent.
No, he did the first two. He got fired from Marvel because of with some internet Twitter stuff. Then he started doing stuff with DC. He did the second Suicide Squad. But then,
oh my God, is he? Hold on, I gotta. Is he the guy that did Justice League?
No. James Gunn did the spinoff of Peacemaker. James Gunn did Suicide Squad. the second Suicide Squad. And then he did Peacemaker with Michael Cena, the spinoff TV show, which I haven't seen, but had a good following. But Guardians is his baby. Like, he's been doing Guardians. He made, and if you really think about it, Guardians has always kind of been on its own. Like, Guardians has always had its own specific feel, specific flavor.
Yeah. It intertwined with Thor and everything, but it still was kind of a standalone, which I like how they're doing with the Marvel movies now, that they all seem to stand alone very well.
But Guardians never had like a Star-Lord movie with a different director and a this movie and a that movie. And I think even James Gunn wrote their dialogue for Infinity War. But even when it came to Endgame, I saw an interview and he said something. They said something to him like, hey, the Russo brothers. They said, hey, this is what we're going to do with Gamora. And he goes, they're like, can you work with that? And he goes, oh, yeah, I was actually going to kill off Gamora, but for some reason he didn't. I forget why. And he decided to kill off Yondu in the second movie to, like, give Star-Lord a sense of loss kind of thing. But
yeah.
He's like, no.
Which I felt rushed.
What, the Gamora thing?
The killing of Yondu. No, the Yondu thing. It was like they jammed his death and his storyline. It seemed like that always felt rushed to me.
Yeah, you know they fleshed him out and it made him interesting and then he was gone. Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of came cool, kind of full circle in this movie when he had that flashback and Kraglin is like wearing his fin. You know Kraglin is James Gunn's brother?
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. He's like
nice.
A Sean Gunn. Yeah. I love him. I love his character in it. I thought that was cool when he had the flashback of Yondu.
Yes. Yeah. I love everything they did with Yondu afterwards, but it was just like they killed him and then it was like, oh now you show that how awesome he was. You know what I mean? It made me kind of miss him, but it worked out because they ended up bringing him back in this one and they brought him back in. There's another thing. I'm all over the place. But the Christmas episode, like the whole, like the reveal of him and
Mantis.
The girl that Mantis, him and Mantis being brother and sister.
Yes.
Like that was revealed then, which if you really thought about it, maybe you could figure it out.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that she was the god guy's daughter.
Yeah.
I thought she was just found on that Ego. Planet. Yeah, so if you skip the Christmas episode and then watch that this movie, he's just like, oh yeah, I have you for my sister. I'd be like, what? Your brother and sister? When did that happen?
Yeah, I thought about that too, but I thought like I would think like maybe somebody would just assume they missed it, or if you were that into Guardians, you probably would have saw the Christmas special. I don't know. I didn't think it was like of all the details, that was the one. The Gamora one would have been a harder sell. And they tried to sum it up really quick with the Infinity War thing. Like, he did a recap of it, pretty much, Star-Lord.
Yeah.
He said, you know, your dad threw you off a magic cliff.
Yeah, but you expect to see those movies, but to see a TV show.
Yeah.
And a holiday special, which I just happened to watch in the last week or so. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, I just forgot it was there. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. You just wouldn't. But I was hoping that you didn't see that. Because I was curious to see your take, like, oh yeah, I had to do a double take, like brother, sister.
Oh,
you
no.
Know, I'm curious someone who didn't see it, how they would have reacted to that, whatever.
I actually was very intrigued to watch it because I knew even if it was silly, it was James Gunn, like, back in the saddle. Not that he ever really left. They didn't do any Guardians movies without him, and he was involved in Endgame, but he was just gone for that gap, and it was just nice to know he was back. It was actually his idea. When they were pitching stuff for Disney Plus, he was just straight up like, yo, let me do a Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special. Because Star Wars did one a long time ago. And people made a joke how, you know, and lots of TV shows have done it. And it's always campy and silly.
It was fantastic.
Yeah,
I loved it. It was so high production, too, where it's like they must have filmed it. But you said he did it beforehand. But it's almost like I bet it was sort of done in tandem with the movie. You know what I mean? Because you had the dog in it. You had the same sets and everything. Because it was too big of a production just for the show. It's like, all right, they just had him show for the movie and did this also.
It did do some prelude stuff. Like, hey, you know, we're rebuilding in nowhere. And like you said, they put the Cosmo, the dog in there. And yeah, it did kind of set up some stuff and prelude some stuff. I guess you could have taken it or leaving it. Plus, you were coming fresh out of Avengers and Thor and everything. I tell you, liked how they handled the Gamora thing. What did you think about
it? I loved it. I loved how they handled it, because the whole thing where you have a different Gamora who's there, but she's not there. Those storylines are so weird. And like Fast and the Furious did it, like the girl has amnesia and then like you have to fall in love with her again. You know, and it had that sort of same feel. And it's such a weird thing to where it's hard to grab onto. And I love how they did it, because the best part of it was her going back to the Renegade ship and you seeing that she's happy there.
Yes.
And she has a life there. It wasn't like she was just miserable, had nothing. She was just a mean person because she wasn't with them. It was like, no, she was acting like that with you because she's just a bad ass. But when she left, you seen that other side of her that you weren't seeing with him. She has that with her family. Who was it? The Renegades?
The Ravagers.
Ravager.
You know, if they would have got back together, it would have been corny. You know, it would have been stupid.
Exactly.
It was better
to have no memory of each other and then to just get back together.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense.
But the closure was the twofold. It was Star-Lord saying, okay, I accept, you know, but you're pretty cool. And her saying, like, her accepting, like, you know what? Under different circumstances, I fell in love with this guy. Like, there were glimpses
I see
why
how this would have worked.
I see why
this could have worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, also on her level, she is totally displaced. Forget about even him. Like, she just came out of 2014, like, on Thanos' side, and just, like, that instant flip to, like, turn on him, and then she just, like, lost the universe. So she just hooks up with the Ravagers. Like,
that's right.
Yeah.
See, I forgot that Gamora's path.
Yeah.
And I got to refresh. I forgot where exactly she left off.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. She was with Thanos at the time.
Yeah.
That we last seen her. Yeah. That's true.
And she showed up to kill the Avengers. She flipped at the last second with Nebula.
Yeah.
Nebula's had a very interesting character growth, because
the sister.
Yeah. And it's
I like that whole storyline a lot. I like the thing with Quill looking at her like, maybe.
Yeah.
She's like, no.
But the back and forth, the stuff with her and Drax and stuff, because you fill in the gaps.
And Rocket.
Yeah. And with Rocket. And that's a thing too.
Especially,
And especially, you got to remember, because after Endgame, it's like she came back and her and Rocket held hands. It was like they were the last two. You know, for 5 years, they were the last of the group. And it was just, you know, it's stuff that's known without being said, but they didn't fast track it. This is stuff that's been going on. You know, if you know that, like, 5 years have passed, she's been flying in space with Rocket. She's been more humanized because, you know, she's away from Thanos. Just everything. It's a good character development, you know.
Yeah, it wasn't just the curmudgeon attitude, whatever. It evolved at a good pace, and it you know what I mean? Like, it played out real well. And speaking of, too, just like I said, like, Yondu is like, you didn't fall in love with him until after he was dead. And it was like, I felt like I didn't get enough of him. You know what I mean? Because it was like, oh, now I just started to like him with the Mary Poppins thing, and then that was it. He's gone. But the Christmas episode just did the full cartoon of him.
Yeah.
Where it was just like, oh, that was beautiful. That whole cartoon storyline, because you got to bring him back without it being, by doing it as a cartoon, it made it sort of a cool platform for like a flashback.
And also,
that was awesome.
I also thought on a technical level, he didn't have to put like 5 hours of makeup on, and he probably did it over the phone. He probably uses like microphone at home and just like, oh, what do I say? All right.
It's like us doing this.
Just a podcast. Doing a
call, like, oh, I'm recording now. Yeah, just read this for me, would you?
Let's flip back to Rocket, because there's a lot of stuff going back with him. I forgot.
Yeah.
When the stuff with the High Evolutionary, like all that stuff was ridiculous. Like,
yeah.
That he's taking him under his arm and he's explaining stuff to him like he's his child. You know what I mean? It's like that. There's cute moments. And then when Rocket's friends died, and then Rocket freaking
little furry animals.
And
it was like the beginning of Bambi.
Yeah.
Oh God.
It was like super
heartbreaking.
Oh, that's the part I saw on, I saw it again on TikTok today. where he does that, Rocket does that scream. And the evolutionary is just like on a phone, basically.
Yeah.
While he's, he goes, "Wah, I can do the crying contest too." And Rocket just tears the shit out of his face. And you don't see it, but you don't see it till the end. You see it at the end, the results of
I did not expect the results to be that bad.
Yeah.
And in hindsight, it wasn't that it shouldn't have been. I just, that was like a pleasant surprise because I was like, I thought it was just like, he had to paste his skin back on. It's like, no, it's a mask. Here's what they really did. It's like, oh God.
Yeah.
That's brutal. And yeah, it makes sense. He's like a raccoon with robot arms.
I like, it's so funny how Rocket, because half of you would think like a personal vendetta, but then half of you is like, well, look at all the other stuff Rocket's been through since. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, he's got this pass with the high evolutionary, but they're up against him. And Rocket just says, I'm tired of running from this guy. And he's like, click, click.
Yeah, it was less about vengeance against that guy. And I think more about his demons with getting his friends killed.
Yes.
I think the vengeance part, it seemed to take, and it was cool that they did that. Like, he wasn't like, oh, I'm going to find him and get him.
Yeah.
Like, he never said that once. It was just like a little bonus. Like, oh, cool, I get to get him. Instead, it was like him seeing those animals in there and saving them.
Yeah, he was never out for revenge for him. No, it was more like, yeah, I can't. It was his guilt. It was him running from his guilt over what happened.
Yeah. Which is cool. And, you know, they got this, you got the, you know, keeps silly character, but you know, it's Marvel, but it's a, like, if you see a picture of it, you're like, okay, that's ridiculous. But because you have, what's his name?
Bradley Cooper.
I mean, you got Bradley Cooper voicing him, and who's awesome. He's one of my favorite actors.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys. He's like Brad Pitt. If I see him on a movie poster, I don't watch any trailers. I just go to the movie.
You're in. All you're going.
I just go. I don't want to see a spoiler, but so you got him voicing him. So like he was able, you know, not that anyone, I don't know that anyone else could have done it, but he took it to that level. You know what I mean? To have such an arc for such a silly character is really cool.
Yeah, it was an arc. And he had an arc, like a different arc in Endgame. I mean, he had to be the cool head with Thor. Like back in the day in Guardians, at the time of Guardians 2, he was butting heads with Star-Lord and butting heads with his teammate.
Yeah.
So it's like, but then like he kind of had that, like he lost everything again, apparently, but he, like, it got all business when it came to, and he had to be the guy, the strong guy when it came to, like the fact that they, I was always a big fan of like how he clung to Thor. You know what I mean? Because he was with Thor. You know, you always,
that was good. That whichever movie that was, that storyline when him and Thor were together, that was awesome.
Well, you think about Endgame when Thor was like, you know, having his emotional breakdown and everything, and he goes, I can't do this. And Rocket had to straighten him out. But you also forget that Infinity War, Rocket was with him when he was like super badass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he actually went through Thor's arc with a long Thor. It was just a cool thing. So it's almost like, so we've gotten to know Rocket really well. And then you make him the heart of this and he's learned his past.
Yeah. And it wasn't just a straight line. Like, okay, he's going to get more mature. It was like, no, he was like gung ho wanting to be captain. Why are you the captain versus me type stuff? And then all this other stuff goes on. And then at the end, he's not even asking for it. And then he gets it. And you're like, it was so deserved. And it was such a cool ending when they're all like saluting him. Like, no, you're the captain.
Drax seemed one note, but really Drax's origin, which kind of got a little weird, was because Drax's origin was that his family got killed by Thanos.
Yeah.
And the thing is he never, you know, he had that one moment where he kind of like jumped ahead of everybody else to kill Thanos. And that was his thing. But the cool thing was the stuff with the kids. I think that was his storyline kind of coming full circle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, because it's like, because you just seen him as a vengeance guy and he can only say what was on his mind. He couldn't, whatever.
Yeah.
And then it showed, it's like, no, wait, that's the other side, is the dad side.
Yeah.
That's when that's, yeah.
I love that scene. I love the scene. That scene too, where the three of them are fighting and it's Nebula and Mantis arguing. And it's like, you don't expect those two to have something, but you got to just put in your head that they've been together for a while.
and it's a high stress situation, and
but they're like calling each other out,
freaked out.
And she said something insulting to Drax, and Drax like, "You think I'm stupid?" And she makes Drax forget. Like, it was really sweet.
Yeah,
you know, like, she didn't mean it.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, she's like, and Drax. Yeah, Drax goes, "Don't know," goes back at it and everything. Like, there was a lot.
Yeah, like it was a little. It was a touch messed up because you're like, oh well, she, you know, like she just kind of cheated.
Yeah,
but it was like. Like how I wish I could do that.
Yeah, yeah. I wish I could have done that a couple times. Yeah. Like, ooh, and I wish human, did it here today. Yeah.
And it humanized her too. It was, you know what I mean? It was like, okay, you know, it's like completely, you know, in a way it's kind of wrong to do it, but it was the right thing to do in a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Will Poulter as Adam Warlock. My experience with Adam Warlock was reading the comics Infinity War, which was actually... The Infinity War movie is actually based off of the Infinity Gauntlet. Infinity War was a sequel to that. That actually, you know what I'm saying? Like, they just used that name because it was cooler. But that was my first experience with Adam Warlock. And it was the Infinity Crusade or like the Infinity Team. It was some team where it was like five guys that each kept a stone or something. But
wait, you know this from comics?
Yeah. Yeah, but that was my experience with Adam Warlock. Like, he had...
I liked the actor. I'm a fan of that actor, and I was happy to see him when he showed up.
Yeah, he was cool, and, like, I knew he was going to come... Like, his turn was natural, and I thought it was going to be sooner than I thought. I thought his turn was going to be straight up like, well, my mother died because of the High Evolutionary. I thought it would be as plain, as simple as that. Like, I was ready for his turn. But, oh, when he saved Star-Lord... I thought Star-Lord was because I was like, if anybody's going to go, it's Chris Pratt because he's got like Jurassic Park movies and Lego movies to do. Like,
and they did it slow. You know, it reminded me of
Yondu's
Carrie
death.
Fisher. No, it reminded me of Carrie Fisher in Star Wars.
Oh,
when she blasts out the thing and then she uses the Force to get back in. Like, they did it cool. Like, they did it all slow. Like, he just touches him, like, hey, buddy. And you're like, oh, are they just bumping into each other? And then he's like grabs him and flies. Oh, and which before we get off too, is in terms of like a trilogy, how cool was it to bring the gold people, whatever they were called, how they were part of, they were one of the species created by that guy. You know what I mean? Because that's from number two.
Yes.
So it tied it all together. Like, oh, okay. Because they were sort of like an off species that you thought was just like a throwaway thing. Like, okay, here's the, you know, the villains for this movie or whatever, but it's like, okay, no, there were a species created by this. It all tied in together real nice.
Yeah, because it was like a throwaway like scene from the other thing.
I liked him. I liked that storyline. And his powers were awesome. And he seemed and he still was he on in the after credit scene. He was there,
yeah,
right?
He was the first. He was part of Rocket's new Guardians. That was like a thing. So they had Kraglin, who got control of the arrow, and he's almost like, I could do this by myself. I think
I like that.
Cosmo like might have been there. Did you catch Howard the Duck?
Yes. Oh, and you know who voiced him? Without looking. Tell me if you knew it without looking. I haven't even looked it up, and I know who it is.
No, I had no idea.
I bet it's Seth Green. I bet Seth Green, because he sounded like... Family Guy. I gotta look it up. I want to see if I'm right. I should look this up before I called.
I could see that too.
Voice.
Look it up.
Howard the Duck. Seth Green. I pride myself on catching voiceovers. I don't know why.
Just no, I do. I do TV. Too. When I nail it.
Yeah.
Especially watching cartoons with my son, I'm like, who is that guy?
We watch anime all the time now. So the one that we got you to watch, Demon Slayer. I'm like, oh, that's that guy from Demon Slayer. That's this one. And like, hearing those characters and other things. Yeah. But he only said like two words, and it shows here, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. He actually had some words with Howard the Duck. I don't remember him speaking.
No, it was an after credit scene where the collector, when his place destroyed at the end, Howard the Duck, the dog, Cosmo the dog is licking his face, and Howard the Duck goes, "You let the dog lick you right in the mouth? Gross."
Yeah, he sounded just like the son from Family Guy.
Dad.
Yeah, he sounded just like, and it was just like two words. But I'm like, oh, Seth Green, there he is. I tell you, that was, you know, like, same as for Black Panther 2, same as for, what else? I don't know, there's a few movies that we've seen recently where you go into a movie and like, you kind of have it hyped up because you're waiting so long for it. It's the end of something. You're like, boy, I hope it does it. And this movie full on did it. You know what I mean? Like, it hit all the notes I wanted it to hit.
I'll be real honest.
Yeah.
Because you and me kind of struggled with the Ant-Man show. Because you're like, what was... And I've listened to...
You know, we kept forgetting stuff. And I love Ant-Man. And I just...
There's something
remember.
Funny behind that. Because once we did ours, I started listening to other guys do the Ant-Man show. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't want to steal, so I wait till I do a match. So I listened to my buddies at The List of Everything. They did their Quantumania show. I listened to them. I listened to Kevin Smith do his. And Kevin Smith and his buddy couldn't remember how the movie ended. And they were like, I think this is kind of like a telltale thing of the movie. And because I thought maybe you and me just weren't, you and me were beating each other up. Like, why did we kind of do that show? But the thing is it didn't stick with us. And there's a reason.
Yeah.
It's not because we, whatever movie we were to do this show or everything, but it's just like, there was nothing like impactful about it. And I really believe that. I really believe that it was going through the motions. It was like, all it had was Kang. And even what it had of Kang wasn't much. It was just like, Kang's a big threat. You know what I mean? It was just, that was it. It was like, I'll quote my resources. Kevin Smith was like, I had a bigger impact from Kang from Loki, which is true.
Yes.
Kang and Loki was badass.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like, and it stuck. Wow. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I did enjoy Quantumania,
but you
do have a point. Like, you walk away and it's like,
Well, it's like
I know
pizza.
Exactly what you're getting at.
It's like pizza. You're always gonna enjoy it, but you know, there's even when pizza's bad, it's still good. Not that it was bad, but it was like nothing in Ant-Man touched my heart. There was like nothing going on with Hope, his girlfriend. The stuff with his daughter.
There's nothing risky. There is nothing. You know what? I'll give you a great example. Breaking Bad, great show.
Yes.
Right. So now this is after Game of Thrones had a horrible ending, which was so bad. I don't even watch the new Game of Thrones show, even though that was my favorite show.
It just burned you so
the
bad.
The ending
That's
was
funny.
So bad. It burned me so bad. I want nothing to do with it.
You're out.
So now I'm out. So now Breaking Bad does their ending. Their ending was good, but it was just like it was too clean. Like there was nothing like we knew these guys were going to get theirs. We knew this guy was going to get his.
Yeah.
It was just like, okay, justice done. But then Better Call Saul
as
their ending. And Better Call Saul's ending haunts me to this day.
It does.
Like,
it does
I
me
think
too.
About that every like I just yeah. like anytime I see Bob Odenkirk on something, and I'm a huge fan of his, so it pops up on all my feeds.
Yeah.
You know, because some guys after Game of Thrones, I think everybody went safe with their endings.
Yeah.
They didn't want to do that or pull a Sopranos and piss everybody off. And that's where Quantumania, which I did enjoy Quantumania. I don't remember, now that you mention it, I still can't remember exactly what happened. But Guardians, I know Rocket's story. I know how that ended. I love how the Gamora story ended because it wasn't Gamora's story. It was alternate Gamora's story.
Yeah.
And I love how they showed that that's what it was. You know what I mean?
And here's another thing.
You make a good point.
I'll tell you this, Bob. If you and me, months later, did a revisit on Better Call Saul finale tomorrow... It would be better than the Ant-Man show. like we'd be more, we could tear that thing apart. Like it was, and it wasn't like there was anything bad that we could critique. There was just nothing like,
point, it's a shame because I left this theater, but it was hilarious.
No,
that was a hilarious. Point, I see your point, but
there was no impact.
There was no impact. Yeah. But and I remember leaving the theater all psyched to call you because you know what it was? It was funnier than impactful.
Yeah.
It was just very funny.
And it's enjoyable. And that's why you go to the movies. Like I go with my son and he loves it. And he's like every movie, like now he's seeing more and more with me. We went to see Guardians together. And he's like, oh
yeah.
You know, he just loves it. It's fun. You're in a theater eating popcorn. But as far as like a story that hits you, like am I dissing Ant-Man? I'm just saying that like Guardians, like I'm thinking about scenes more and I'm thinking about stuff that touched me and affected me and, you know, like so many emotions and so many fun scenes, the hallway fight that we almost passed by.
Oh, yeah.
That slow motion, the soundtrack, you know, different things like that. The initial attack on Rocket, there was so much powerful, like, stuff happening. And even, like, and that's the problem of the machine. It's the problem of the, if a studio gets like, hey, we're going through the motion and we're pumping these out versus you got a guy that like James Gunn, it's like, no, this is my baby. I'm doing it my way. Here's what's, yeah, what's happening, which is why.
So much attention on an ending. I hope I didn't break your chain of thought.
No.
When you have so much attention on an ending, and Breaking Bad, I think, is a perfect example of this, because I still love Breaking Bad and I'm not knocking its ending.
No, I
so
love
much.
It too. Yeah.
I love it, and it's, I haven't rewatched it, and maybe that's a reason why I didn't rewatch it. But the ending just felt like they just had a list and they just checked all the boxes. You know, like
there were better episodes of Breaking Bad than the Breaking Bad finale. That's what
yes, exactly. I hope they get Emmys for those last few episodes of Better Call Saul, because there is a point to our rambling. Is if I don't know that the third's the finale, which by the way, very odd how they pointed out Star-Lord will return.
Yeah, nobody else.
That's, because they didn't need to.
They showed but Rocket's they team. Well, Gamora's definitely done. I think James Gunn hinted it somewhere. He was going to kill her off also because he knew she was done. Maybe because she's doing Avatar or whatever she's doing, but you know.
She's got so many other things going. And also, like, in terms of storyline, I mean, it would just be, you know, you would love to see them back together, but. To
what purpose
you know,
does she serve now? Like what
purpose
else
does she serve now? And and you would have to bust out some weird time, you know, because those things are stupid. When you do like, oh, well, let's just go back in time and bring her back. It's if you could just do that, there's no point to anything. There's no like why I have no. It's like when Superman spun around the Earth. Oh, I could just go back in time. It's like, okay, well then why does anything bad ever happen?
I felt her storyline was more about Star-Lord making peace with her death. That's what I felt. Like in real life, like you're visually making peace with somebody's death. Like, it was
in terms of the story, bringing her back adds nothing.
Yeah. Hey guys, thanks for listening. I definitely want to thank Bob for a great season. Don't forget, we'll be back in August for Ahsoka, so make sure you subscribe in your favorite podcast apps. And follow me, Bunzarelli, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Oh, and TikTok. Anyway, I'm off to the beach, so peace.